When Jane Oliver walked on stage at the Berklee Performance Arts Center on November 1st, 2003, she had every right to be nervous. The concert would be recorded for a new CD and DVD. One calming factor was the hall. She recorded her first live album there in 1982. She hadn't been back since then. In fact, the next year, Jane Oliver stopped performing and recording songs completely.
You are one of the few things worth remembering. And since it's all true, how could anyone mean more to me than you? I see everybody.
The CD and DVD of Jane Oliver's performance last year has just been released on the PS Classics label. On May 1st, she sang at Town Hall in New York, and Jane Oliver joins us now from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Jane, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How did the Town Hall concert go?
Oh, fantastic. I felt superhuman. It was fantastic, and the audience response was this just great.
Was it like a welcome home party for you there in New York?
Something like that, yes.
Well, it's been a while since you've been in front of an audience in this capacity, singing and performing. And so we have to tell people your story to this point. And I think we have to start at the beginning. You were a big singing sensation in the late 1970s. You, as they say in the business, moved millions of units, and you sold out all your concerts. And there was a pinnacle that you reached in 1980 of your fame. And you sang with Johnny Mathis.
Yes.
At the Academy Awards.
We had recorded a duet called The Last Time I Felt Like This, I Was Falling in Love, from a movie that nobody saw. I think it was released in 79, called Same Time Next Year.
Was the last time I felt like this, I was falling in love.
You sing the song on this new CD. You did it in the concert at the Berklee Performance Arts Center. Okay, so compare now going on at the Oscars and singing it, and compare going on at the Berklee Performance Arts Center. Compare your stage fright, your level of stage fright, how it manifested itself.
Well, I have moved on as a person and made a few changes. And so the level of stage fright for this Berklee performance had changed. I mean, this is tremendous, what is thrust upon a performer. It's so different than the privacy of a concert, plus the fact that the director had turned all the lights on. And that's why I keep saying, oh, I see everybody, because I had asked at soundcheck, what am I going to walk out to? No surprises. And he turned all the lights out. So when I walked on stage, all the lights were on, and I saw the entire audience, and I said, this is very different than what I expected to see. But you handle it.
Yeah.
You just handle it. And it was very different experience. The Academy Awards, I was very grateful I had Johnny there. I mean, you know that 50 billion people are going to be watching you. And there's so much electricity in the air at the Academy Awards. It's almost dreamlike. It's a magical, amazing experience.
You left the business 20 years ago. Stage fright was one of the reasons you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell the story. Did your process of leaving the business begin when your husband died and you felt you needed to take a break, and the break ended up turning into 10 years?
Actually, that was only one of the catalysts. I had severe stage fright way before I met him, mm-hmm. and it didn't make my days very comfortable to know that I'd be singing at night. I was always afraid I'd forget the words. And I also felt that I was rushed to be a star. I started very late, and the people around me I think took a cue on my vulnerability and used it. And had me playing Carnegie Hall 2 years after I actually was singing professionally. That's nuts. I wouldn't do that again if you paid me $100 million, because my soul would suffer. I do want to add, though, Leanne, that I am really, I feel great now and very happy and grateful that I took that time off, because it is, that experience has served me well.
Your voice has been compared with the best. You can't read a review of your work without other prominent names coming up. Barbara Streisand is one. Sometimes when I hear you on some of these tunes, there's a, I'm hearing a sound or a note, and it will remind me of her. What is it, do you think, about her sound that is like yours? Or maybe I should reverse it. What is it about your sound that is like hers?
Well, that's it. It's her first, and then
no.
I think, Barbara, what do you think? I don't know.
I don't know, Barbara. What do you think?
We're both from Brooklyn, and I felt joy in my childhood that was so palpable I could have fainted from joy. Also, great sadness I felt. And I think our feelings, perhaps, are more on the surface.
And I see two girls racing up two flights of staircase, squirming into Papa's embrace, and his whiskers warm on their face. Where's it gone? Oh, where's it gone? Two floors above the butcher, first door on the right, life filled to the brim as I stood by my window and looked out on those Brooklyn roads.
I love that you're telling people you're from Brooklyn. You tell them you're from Brooklyn in a song on the new CD. And I have to admit, in the late 70s, when I heard your music, I thought you were European. I mean, and apparently I'm not the only one that thought you were like, what, French, Italian, you know, Edith Piaf, that kind of thing. Did you sort of, when people started to assume, yes, well, that's it, did you? And did you mean to? Did you cultivate that? No.
Oh, please, I was so nervous. Who could be that clever? You can't be clever when you're nervous.
But you give us a great picture of that place in Brooklyn where you grew up.
That's great. That's one of the greatest songs Neil has written, or anybody.
Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Diamond. You write a lot of songs, and the title song of this new CD is one you
wrote. Can you believe? Isn't that fabulous? And that song was written quite quickly, and I took my melody, and Russ Walden put a lyric to it. And we had been talking over the phone about what was going on in Iraq. And then we realized that, gee, you know, you could also miss somebody coming home from a trip. And then so the song was written.
On the wind, can you hear my call? Through the fire and rage and the fear of it all. I don't want to hear up. Or a lesson to learn. All I want is your safe return.
Safe Return is the name of it. What does the song then also say about perhaps your time away, your journey back?
It says in two words that it's been a safe return, and I'm grateful to people in my life and my own work, inner work that I did in myself, and wouldn't let myself get away with stuff, and to God and to Paxil and to the scientific minds that made these wonderful drugs up, because I think that they're helping people. And it's really great now. It's just the fulfillment of a journey that I didn't, you know, I'm so glad that I took. You don't, when you're on your journey, you don't see the end of it, and it's pretty scary, but you take your fear with you and keep going, because the fear will turn into joy.
Jane Oliver, her new concert CD and DVD are called Safe Return. It's on the PS Classics label. She joined us from the studios of WYPR in Baltimore. Thanks, and break a leg, Jane.
Thank you.
All I ask is your safe return.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.